and 24. As we continue our songs for the journey, looking at the Psalms of Ascent over these summer Sunday evenings. And we've already thought on some great Psalms, and tonight is no exception, I don't think. Psalm 124, a song of ascents, and it reminds us quite clearly that this one is of David as well. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. This is God's word tonight. You know, during the 12 years or so I've been in pastoral ministry now, there's one statement I've heard over and over as I've ministered to people in times of trouble and sorrow. When loved ones have been sick or dying, when storms have arisen, when disasters have occurred, so many have said to me, what would we do without the Lord? Where would we be if we didn't have him in our lives? How do people who do not know Jesus get by in difficult times? And I have no answer for that, because I cannot personally imagine facing life and death and eternity without the Lord beside me. Life is difficult. And what would we do if we could not confide and reside and abide and sometimes even just simply hide in the Lord Jesus Christ? Where would we be? You ever thought it might be good to occasionally imagine what our lives would be like without Jesus? There are two occasions that I know of, probably a few more, but two specific ones in Scripture when biblical writers take that approach. And one of them, the New Testament version, is found in 1 Corinthians 15. And the Apostle Paul is trying to imagine what it would be like to live without the reality of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 14, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. And he's imagining what it'd be like without the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He's imagining what it's going to be like if Christ didn't come, if he didn't die, if he wasn't raised to life again. But notice that he adds in the very next verse, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ did die. He was buried. He was raised to life again. Our sins are forgiven and our future is secure because of his death and resurrection. Can you imagine living in a world where we are lost in sin forever? It's not a pleasant thought. The Old Testament version of this imagining God not being there is the psalm that we've just read together. Psalm 124 imagines what would happen if God did not intervene to help. In some ways, it's almost the exact opposite. And some of you will know that sometimes with words, songs then come into my head. So it's actually the complete opposite of John Lennon's famous song, Imagine. Lennon imagined a world without God or heaven and thought it would be a better place. But listen, Psalm 124 imagines what would happen without God, and it's a picture of complete devastation. You could call this psalm here the Great Escape. because the psalmist escapes great danger and almost certain disaster. But unlike the movie by the same title, he doesn't escape because of his own skill or ingenuity, but because God intervened to help. At its core, Psalm 124 teaches us that we can depend on God, and indeed that we must depend on God if we want to make it safely to the other side. God it is who protects us and provides for us. God it is who is worthy of all praise. And so for the psalmist, this is a cry of deliverance this evening. This next song for the journey is a psalm of David. It's the mid-psalm. If you haven't been with us over these weeks, it's the mid-psalm and the triplet. These songs of ascent, as they've been written down and recorded for us, are all in little triplets. The three go together, and then the next three to go together, and the next three go together, and they follow the same kind of pattern and theme. Psalm 123 had been the psalm of terror, of trouble, of distress. The psalmist was caught up in the contempt of the people. He was enduring much ridicule from them. But his hope was in God, but God had not yet answered his prayer. Psalm 124, though, is different. Its theme is trust. We've gone from the terror to the trust. And then we get to the triumph the next time round. The psalmist is looking back. He has come through difficulty and he has come through distress. And God has delivered him. And sometimes it's only in the looking back in our lives that we are able to see God's presence and God's protection and God's provision and God's power at work in our lives. David, King David here, is likely looking back at a time when he first became king over Israel and the Philistines came to attack him. And they came up in full force, it tells us, in 2 Samuel chapter 5. But with God's help, David defeated them. The Philistines then quickly came a second time, and once more, with God's help, David defeated them. And David is concerned that the people might think this surprising, almost miraculous victory was down to him. And he doesn't want to take any credit. He wants to point them to God. He wants to point them to their shield and their defender, their rock and their strong deliverer. And so David asks the question in verse 1 there, if the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on our side. And he draws the children of Israel into considering what might have happened if God had not been with them. This isn't about me, says David. It's about our great God. Let's glory in him. Let's see what he points out to us in this cry of deliverance this evening. Firstly, we're led to consider God's protection. God's protection. David starts this song by seeking to get the people to affirm God's work in their lives and his protection of them. He does that by means of this call to consider what might have happened if the Lord hadn't been on their side. Verse 1, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. And the key word in this section is the word if. And if is a tiny little word with massive implications. And here the ifs focus on what might have happened if not for God. If the Lord had not been on our side, says David, listen, we would have been destroyed. Notice that phrase, if the Lord had not been on our side, is repeated. This is for emphasis, but also because the second time it's spoken as an affirmation. First time the psalmist says it, but then he encourages all of Israel to repeat it after him. It's almost like he's saying, all together now, Israel, sing it out. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been destroyed. And then he fires into those what ifs. He speaks of the foe, the fire, the flood, and the fowler in this song. That could have been a different outline for me tonight, couldn't it have been? You've got to love alliteration when it just flows out of a text. He speaks of being swallowed alive, and what else? Swept away. More alliteration. The psalmist loves it, so why shouldn't we love alliteration? This is all very graphic for us as well. He's painting some picture for the people to ponder. Do you know that C.S. Lewis once said, never read a book without pictures? That's what C.S. Lewis said. Never read a book without pictures. And I don't think he was actually talking about physical pictures on the pages like some of us would like to go back to reading sometimes. I think what he was talking about is those books and those stories where there's a picture painted and the words just bring alive this image before your very mind. And what a graphic picture the psalmist brings to us. David speaks of the foe coming to attack them. Their enemies are gathering around them. They're angry. Their anger is flaring up. It's like a fire that's coming against them. On account of this, they would have been swallowed alive. And you know, just because I'm talking about pictures, all kinds of pictures come into my mind when I read that and think about being swallowed alive. We watched the new live-action Jungle Book. I say new live-action Jungle Book, I think it's a couple of years old now. But the other week was the first time that we sat down as a family to watch it. I think Rebecca and Andrew had seen it, but we hadn't. And you all know the Jungle Book, don't you? There's this scene when the snake, Ka, a python, looks into Mowgli's eyes and he's hypnotized. And the python then slowly wraps himself around Mowgli, trying to squeeze the life out of him before what his snakes do. They open their mouth and just grab something whole, don't they? And I've got that picture here as David's writing these words of a snake opening its mouth and swallowing us alive. And it's a picture of being totally outmatched. And it's a picture that David draws here. That's how difficult the odds were for David and for the people if God had not been on their side. And he then moves on to picture this as their enemies flooding over the top of them. He speaks of the flood sweeping over them and sweeping them away. And this is no gentle, slow rising of water causing a little bit of flood damage in your home. This is a flash flood or a tsunami where the rushing waters swallow you alive, sweeping over you and everything else in its path. And we've all seen the news reports over recent years of tsunamis engulfing whole villages near the ocean. Or even just over the last few years of floods causing the damage they caused in Cumbria and other parts of our land. And the waters flood and they come flowing like a torrent around us and over us, and the waters rage and roar, and in their power we're swept away. And David is picturing their enemies. So many people rising up against them, coming against them, and they're inundated and they've been deluged by a whole load of people, so much so that they have been swept away. They could not possibly stand against it. And David is helping the children of Israel picture what could have happened, but hasn't. If God hadn't been on their side, they would have been swallowed up and they would have been swept away. They would have been overpowered and they would have been overcome and they would have been defeated and they would have been destroyed. If God hadn't been on our side, just imagine how bad it would have been. And the good news, God is on our side. He has protected us from all of this. He has kept us safe. He has walked with us. He has shielded us. He has guarded us. He has delivered us. And the psalmist is not simply speaking historically, taking people back to a previous occasion and remembering God's protection and deliverance. I believe he is speaking personally. He's speaking personally in the here and now, saying, what if I didn't have God to help me in my own personal crisis? What if I didn't have a Bible to lean on in times of danger and distress? What if God had not been on my side? Listen, I would have been a goner. I would have been finished. I would have been overcome. And that leaves a question for us to consider. Where would we be without God? What if the Lord wasn't on our side? What would your life be like if God had not chosen you, had not called you, had not saved you and redeemed you and forgiven you and adopted you and sealed you for all eternity? What would your life be like if God had not helped you and protected you and saved you and changed you? Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Our life is nothing without God. Do you believe that? That without God and without Christ in your life, you could do nothing of lasting value. Where would we be without God leading? Without God guiding? Without Him directing and protecting us? How many times have you been out and about? Maybe you've been in the car. How many times you've been out and about and you've been driving and some idiot has cut right in front of you and you slammed your brakes on suddenly, or they've been busy talking on their phone, or sorry to sound sexist, or they've been busy doing their makeup in the car and in front of you and they've almost caused an accident. Or maybe you've been on the motorway and you've been so tired that you're beginning to drift off to sleep and the wheels have gone over the cat's eyes and the bump, bump, bump has woken you up and the adrenaline kicks in those moments and you suddenly think, boy, that was close. Boy, that was close. And it was God intervening. It was God keeping you safe. And that's what the psalmist is asking here. If the Lord had not been on our side, if God hadn't been working all things together for the good of those that love Him, if our covenant God had not been obligated by reason of that covenant to do you good and to bring you safe all the way to glory, imagine where you'd be. Imagine the darkness of it. Imagine the horror of it. Imagine the pain of it. The angst of it. If God hadn't been on our sides, if you hadn't known again and again the ministry of Almighty God in your life. And you know there's another thought in there. You know what Romans 8, 31 asks? We sung it in that song a minute or two ago. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against God? Who can fight with God and win? Who can sneak past God and get to us? No one. Nothing. And what a comfort it is to know that if you are in Christ, then God is for you and He is on your side. Friend, whatever battles you face, whatever difficulties you are going through, whatever struggles you have and are having right now, know for sure above everything else that God is on your side. And if He is on your side, then victory is the only outcome. Stop and consider God's protection. Stop and thank Him for working in your life in days past as well as today in the present. God's protection. What if the Lord had not been on our side? But then we move on in verses 6 and 7 to see God's provision. And here the psalm moves from what might have happened to what actually did happen. God not only delivers us from potential dangers, that's what verses 1 to 5 are all about, but He also delivers us from present dangers. That's what verses 6 and 7 are about. The psalmist reminds the people of how God moved in their lives and situations to provide safety and security for them. Praise be to the Lord, he says in verse 6, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Note that he begins by encouraging them to praise the Lord. The Lord it is who is on our side. The Lord it is who has protected us. The Lord it is who has provided for us. And then he paints another couple of pictures for us. Not to show what might have happened, but what is happening and what the Lord is doing in providing for our safety. And the first picture there is of a wild beast trying to tear us apart with its teeth. And this has moved on from the image of a larger animal trying to swallow a smaller animal alive. We now have a large beast of prey prowling up behind you, grabbing a hold of you with its teeth, and you're caught in its vice-like grip, and it's shaking you from side to side. Have you ever seen a cat with a mouse caught in its teeth, or a cat? Sorry to upset anybody, by the way. Vivid images, but they're in the text. A cat grabbing a mouse or a bird in its mouth and it shakes it from side to side trying to stun it enough so that it can lay it down and begin to eat it. Or for David the psalmist, he might be picturing a lion or a wolf grabbing one of its lambs when he was younger and shepherding the flock. And listen, if you move to the New Testament, do you remember what Peter says of Satan in 1 Peter 5:8? He says, your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Like a cunning animal, Satan stalks us and waits until we've relaxed our guard, and then he pounces. But the Lord is stronger than Satan. And if we are abiding in him, we can have the victory. We have to be on our guard. We have to stand firm in Christ. And we have to be looking to God at all times. He will provide for our safety. He will guard us and keep us. Life is a spiritual battle, friends. And as Christians, we're not exempt from the battle. In fact, God puts us right in the middle of it. He puts us right on the front lines even. As a Christian, you must be ready to experience persecution. You must be ready to suffer for your faith. The second picture there is of a fowler trying to trap the bird. He ensnares us and traps us. But God snatches us away and sets us free. He provides for our release. There are all sorts of pictures in the ancient world in this time of people hunting with gigantic nets and sometimes using traps to get them into their nets. And then they're snared and used for whatever purposes the captors have for them. And the picture is of that helpless bird who walked into a trap in order to eat food, or maybe for a picture for you and me, certainly for my garage. It's like the mouse that walks right into my mouse trap with that beautiful cheese, or actually I've found fruit loaf works really well. And it's caught. And listen, does Satan not always have fascinating bait to offer you and me? He tricks us. He lures us in with some amazing picture or promise. He did it in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say, look at that fruit. Look at it. Go on. And he led the woman to think, didn't he? These are the words of Genesis 3. He led the woman to think that the fruit of this tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. Satan it was who tried to offer Jesus the kingdoms of the world as he took him to the highest place and showed him everything around. And listen, Satan is still at it today. He offers us all kinds of pleasures in order to ensnare us and to trap us. And at one time, we were trapped in sin. Notice that the psalmist says we have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare's been broken and we've escaped. He was actually trapped in this snare at one point. It's not that he avoided the snare, he was trapped, but he's escaped from it. And it's another image of our utter dependence on God, because listen, you cannot get out of a snare on your own. You watch an animal that's trapped in a snare, and it will not get out of it on its own. Once you are trapped, you are trapped. But here God comes along, and he breaks the snare, and he allows us to escape. And you can apply this image to so many areas of your life. You can apply it to your trials and temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide what? A way out for you. An escape hatch. What does God do when you're tempted? He provides a way out. He breaks the snare so that you can escape. You might think you are trapped in sin. You might think you are trapped in a situation that you cannot get yourself out of today. But listen, it's not true. God breaks the snare so that you can escape. You can apply it to your salvation. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:26, he says that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You were once trapped in sin. You were trapped by the devil, and Jesus came along and he sprung that trap. He broke the snare. He set you free. The good news of Psalm 124 is that what might have happened didn't happen. You might have been trapped in sin for life. That didn't happen. You might have died without Christ and gone to an eternity in hell, but that has not happened. And the reason it didn't happen was because of God. It's all about God's provision. God makes all the difference. God helps against all the odds. Friend, would you think tonight on God's provision for you and your life? And would you praise him for it? You were trapped in sin, but he has broken the chains and set you free. Rejoice in your salvation tonight. And just one last thing briefly, as brief as I can. The psalmist calls us to consider God's protection and God's provision in order that we might be able to sing God's praise. In verse 6, he says, "Praise be to the Lord." In verse 8, he reminds us who is our help and strength. And this is the reason for us singing God's praise tonight. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In Psalm 121, the psalmist used the personal pronoun to say, "My help comes from, my help comes from." But here, this is the cry of the congregation. This is the cry of the gathered children of God who cry out, "Our help." Our help is in the name of the Lord. Their help isn't just in the Lord, but notice their help is in the name of the Lord. Someone's name is their reputation, their character. Our confidence that God will help is because that's his character. It's his nature. He consistently and regularly hears and rescues and saves and restores and forgives. It's what he does. It's who he is. The stories of the Bible show us the character of this God who listens and who saves. The name of the Lord here is Yahweh, by the way. That covenant name of God, again, that speaks of his character, his faithfulness, his presence, his power, his attributes. Notice he's also described as the maker of heaven and earth. He made it out of nothing by his word. He maintains every part of it by that same word. Nothing is outside of his control. Hear these bits. Nothing is outside of his control or his ability to change or to move or to influence or to destroy or to create. He is the God of the whole universe. There's nowhere that's outside of his jurisdiction or beyond his sphere of influence. That's the God we celebrate. That's the God that we praise when he hears us, when he comes through for us, and when he rescues us. And this psalm reminds us that God is irrevocably committed to us and the covenant of his grace, and he will not forsake that. He won't go back in that. He will not let us go. He will not let us be swallowed up. He will not let us be swept away. He will not leave us ensnared or entrapped. Romans 8:31 said, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" In this world, you and I are going to face foes. We're going to face fires. We're going to face floods, and at times we will face the fowler as well. But here's the point. The psalmist tells us that God is on our side, that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Would you trust in him? Would you look to him? Would you lift up a cry of deliverance? The psalmist asks us to consider, what if the Lord had not been on our side? And then he speaks of God's protection and God's provision, and all the time he wants to sing God's praise. God was on their side. God did deliver them. And the same God wants to help you. The same God wants to take your hand. The same Lord is reaching out to you tonight, whatever you're facing. And the question is, will you give him your hand? Will you give him your heart? Will you give him your life? And if so, listen, if so, he will give you his hand and his heart and his life. He will become a very present help in trouble. For our help, my help and your help, is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and who made earth. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, if